The text for the sermon this morning is the gospel lesson. Especially, verse 12, Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." This is our text. Did you notice what happened during the breakfast? Answer: nothing. And that is tremendously important. Things happened before the breakfast, things happened after the breakfast, but during the breakfast, nothing. Terribly, terribly important. Well, before the breakfast, there's the futility of what the disciples were doing. They were out there fishing and catching nothing. Without direction, they're going back to what they knew. Without results, toiling all night. Without a plan, they needed direction. Someone has said that the only theme in history, not just the most important one, but the only one, is what God is doing. So what God is doing, He creates and we are given life. He forgives and we are His children. He brings us to faith and we are brought into His purpose and plan. Without Jesus, no matter what we do, we are like the disciples out in the lake, toiling all night and gaining nothing. That part of the Bible is called the law. To come along and show us our failings and the results of our failings and what is going to happen if we continue in that way, and to show us God's judgment that He has spoken over our failings and condemned them. That He has spoken over our lives and condemned us. That's the law part. The gospel shows us Jesus stepping into our life and what the results then are. So, with the disciples on their own, there is futility. But now, there's Jesus on the shore, risen from the tomb, the sign of Jonah. And all of a sudden, there's fish all over the place. Catch the running theme? Fish. The sign of Jonah. And fish there in the net, and fish there in the charcoal, and fish for breakfast, and fishing for men. Remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees? This generation looks for a sign. No sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days. And the early Christians would then use a fish as a symbol for Jesus. It was easily traced in the dirt, where a Christian could trace an arc from one side and the other responding, trace an arc from the other side, and now they both knew that they believed in the same Lord. The disciples are dealing with fish. Fish everywhere, fish in their net. Fish reminding them of Easter evening when, as they saw Jesus and as they were invited to reach out and touch Him and put a finger into the mark of the nail, put a hand in the side, touch Him and see that He's not a ghost, because they still could not believe it for joy. "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave Him a piece of broiled fish and He ate it in front of them. And then they rejoiced. Fish. Dragging the net to shore and finding fish already cooked and waiting for them, and breakfast is there. And the risen Lord Jesus, risen on Easter, conquering death, bringing life, the risen Lord Jesus invites them to breakfast. And it's not anything that they have done, it's already prepared. And it's something that John remembers very vividly. How many fish was there in the net? Anybody remember the figure? 153. Okay. It sticks with us down to this day. Certain things are so vivid, you remember the details. So that's before the breakfast. After the breakfast, well, then there's the conversation with Peter. Do you love me? Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Three times for the three denials. And then talking about Peter's finish to his life, giving the witness by his martyrdom, and talking with John about, or talking about John's end of his life. That's after. But in between there is that meal. And it's having breakfast with Jesus and nothing's happening. And it's absolutely amazing. I first ran across this part of this story up in northeast Iowa, where there was a mother and a disabled child. Ella and Eldon. And as they were advancing in years, Elda was taken sick. It looked like she would not survive. Eldon, well, I talked with him, I prayed with him. We prayed for Ella. She recovered. She spent several weeks at home and then was taken sick again. And this time she was called to heaven. And Eldon, wondering why it was that God would do things in that way. He missed his mother, he had to say goodbye, and then there was another time that she was back at home, and then he had to say goodbye again. And as I preached her funeral sermon, this passage came out. That there was a time to linger, a time to savor those moments. What's happening in that breakfast by the shore? Jesus knows that he must, after the 40 days, he must ascend up into heaven, and his disciples will not get to see him and reach out and touch him. He won't get to be walking among them and encourage them with his personal and visible presence. It's time to linger. Time to savor the moments. That's what's going on. That's what John reports. Nothing happening except, of course, having breakfast with the risen Lord Jesus, the firstborn from the dead, who points in his being there to the eternal life that we are going to have, to the resurrection of the body that is going to be ours, to the eternal life that we will enjoy. But there's no lecture, there's no parable, there's no teaching, there's nothing of that sort. Only breakfast. Only breakfast. James Dobson wrote some years ago that children measure love by measuring the time we're willing to spend with them. And it's not quality time. It's the time. And let the time be quality time, but spend the time. And here's Jesus simply having breakfast with the disciples. What an incredibly sweet picture. The work of salvation had been accomplished and finished with Calvary and with the empty tomb. The message of gospel proclamation had been taught to the disciples, and it would be written down in the Gospels. All of that work finished, accomplished, complete. But there's time for breakfast on the beach. The simple event has the effect of changing everything in life for the disciples from that point on. Once you've eaten fish on the beach with Jesus, who's risen from the dead, you're going to remember that. And that's why John says that detail, 153. Once Jesus has been fishing with you and called you away from fishing for fish and called you to fish for men, why? You really can't go back. Your life has changed. Once Jesus has stepped into your life, nothing can ever be the same again. Not studying your lessons for school because you know the one who is the source of all wisdom. Not working because, as the Hebrews say, a man's work is his worship of God. And every good that you do is an imitation of the creating and preserving work of God. Not farming because you have an intimate relationship with the one who gives sun and rain. Not gardening, not keeping house, not fixing meals, not anything in life can be the same, because when Jesus has stepped into your life in that way, nothing can ever be the same. Looking deeply at this theme, what does that say about the heart of God? Think back to the beginning of the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Think back, way back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis, and in the Garden of Eden. And the Lord was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, there to spend time with Adam and Eve. It's a theme that runs through the Bible from beginning to end. And it comes out in a very special way at this point at the end of the Gospel of John. The relationship had been broken by Adam and Eve when they ate the forbidden fruit. It was a long, long quest. A long searching on the part of God. A long searching by the good shepherd who looked for his sheep. And finding us, he brought us back into his family, his kingdom, his love, back to where we belong. The quest, the searching for the sheep, of course, would lead to a hill outside of Jerusalem, to a cross there, to a cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? To the proclamation, it is finished. It would lead to an upper room, where Jesus stood in front of his disciples and said, peace be with you. In this story, it led to a seashore, to the simple spending of time having breakfast with the disciples, lingering. Why would that be so important? Look forward in the Bible. The last two chapters of the Bible, Revelation 21 and 22. Now the dwelling of God is with man. He will be with them and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You find in that theme something that is so deep in the heart of God. Jesus loved the time he could spend with his disciples. He loved that. That itself is a pointing forward to heaven. What will heaven be like? Oh, we have various images that come along. Streets paved with gold. Yeah, so? A city. Yeah. Living forever. That's really important, but it's not the best part. Being there, seeing angels, hearing angel choirs, being transformed and glorious. Yeah, but still, that's not the real thing. The most important thing is what God treasures. For us to be with Him, for Him to be with us. That's it. And when that happens, then this picture from John 21 will be once again in very sharp focus. The picture of a Savior who loved His disciples, who treasured the time spent with them, who wanted that time to last, not only for that morning of breakfast on the beach, but to last forever. This is the love of God with which He has loved you. This is the love of God in your life. This is the promise of God. Well, we follow the example of Jesus. When we take time to treasure our relationship with God and our relationship with our fellow Christians, when we take time to treasure those moments, we follow the example of Jesus when we remind ourselves that there will be a day when we will be reunited there before the throne of Jesus, and there with the glory of God all around, the angel choirs, and all of us rejoicing to be there and be with Jesus Christ and be with each other. On that day, we actually will have enough time. In Jesus' name, amen.